Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.
The song didn't want to fire. There we go. Joining us now on the Quad City Bank and Trust AD in the Morning Show, he is a maestro with money, a ninja of numbers, the grabber of greenbacks, ladies and gentlemen, the Baron of Bettendorf Financial Group, Mr. Doug Weir. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, it's a beautiful, bright day in the Quad Cities. Ready to go.
Bright and cold.
It
little
is.
Cold.
I don't mind the cold. I don't mind the cold. Put on a few more clothes, people. It's fine.
Yeah.
As long as it's clear and sunny, I'm good.
Right on. Thanks for the cold. We had to talk last Monday, and then I ended up, you know, all of a sudden I got a cold. It's all your fault, Doug Weir.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of that. I had two emails already this morning from a couple staff people, still pretty sick. They couldn't make it to the Christmas party on Saturday night, and they're still struggling today. So that's going around. It's going around, unfortunately, for
it
all
is.
Those that are out there sick. I feel your pain.
It's that time of year, but yeah, you guys had your big Christmas party at the Storm game, raising money for Friendly House, and that all went pretty good?
It went great. I got to ride the Zamboni, and Don dropped the puck, and then it's really a cool thing that the Storm does. I got to give them a ton of credit. They are an awesome organization to be a part of our Quad Cities. I've given them a big pat on the back because they do this for us. Once a year, we have our party over there, and then we raise money, the puck drop, and the, you know, selling of the pucks to how they throw, and then they sell the jerseys afterwards, and all the money that we raise goes to the Friendly House in Davenport, which is a great organization, and it's just been a good partnership with us. So we had a great time over there, and it was nice. A few listeners came and said hi to me. They came and said hello, and a couple people asked for business cards. Actually, they wanted to talk to me about stuff.
All right, so you had like 50% of our listeners approach you at the game, huh?
No.
Right
no,
on.
There's far more than that.
I know. I'm just teasing, but no, that's great. I love hearing that. And sounds like we need to raise rates on you, Doug Weir. I don't know if you're getting people coming up to you.
It was cool. They saw me on the Zamboni, and then they knew what I looked like, see?
Oh, okay.
Because they don't look the same on the radio, right?
So right.
Then, anyway, that's just cool. I enjoy that. And one of the fellows that I talked to was going on about kind of what I talked about on the radio last week, and that is helping an 18-year-old get started with a Roth IRA. And, you know, what a great thing to get started. He wants to help his grandson get started with a Roth IRA at age 18. And as I explained to him, if he does that at a normal 9% interest rate, if he gets just a steady 9, that thing's going to double 6 times by the time he gets to be retirement age, and Grandpa was all over that. So yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome.
Cool to be, yeah,
that's cool. I didn't know that. 9% is the standard on a Roth IRA.
Well, you know, so the S&P 500, which is the stock market, has averaged close to 11% since the 1920s.
Wow.
So if you just put your money into the stock market, just the S&P, the Standard Poor's 500 stocks, unmanaged index, you should average. I mean, it has averaged over 10% for, you know, a long, long time, 100 years. So, yeah, it's pretty, you know, to say that should we get 9% in the future? We hope so, but that's just a, you know, rule of thumb.
Oh, that's
the market average. 10, could I get 9? Yeah, I should be able to average 9. And then the rule of 72 says that if you take 9 and divide it into 72, that means your money will double in 8 years. So at a 9% rate, your money's going to double every 8 years. So when you figure out an 18-year-old, it's going to double when the time he's 26, 34, 42, 50, 58, and 66. It's going to double 6 times. So that $2,000 deposit that 18-year-old makes today is worth $128,000 by the time he gets to age 66. For one deposit, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. And if you make an even bigger deposit, then yeah.
Absolutely.
You got my wheels turning.
Yeah, I just had a young man that's making $17 an hour as a part-time like lifeguard type thing, and he's making more money than that's $34,000 a year if he was working full time.
Yeah,
and so he's living at home. He's 17, he's 18, just going to be 18 soon. So we're setting something up for him to get started early, and that's the key: getting started early with everybody. Everyone thinks, "Oh, I'm going to wait till I get my debt paid, I get a house, I get a car, I get all these things." But,
then you're never going to invest.
It's like
waiting to have kids until you have enough money. You never have enough money.
Exactly. And time is so important with compounding of interest. That element, there's three parts to it. There's the deposit, the interest rate, and the time. And you can't substitute time. I mean, every year you wait, you've got to make the other two numbers so much higher to catch up. That's why starting early matters.
That's awesome. No, that's great advice. And advice I wish I would have gotten when I was 18.
It's tough. Most people don't learn that. They don't teach it in school. They teach you, borrow a bunch of money and go off to college and then bury yourself in debt and then try to get unburied the rest of your life. I'm not too sure that's the right thing to do.
That's the system, Doug Weir. That's the, that's the U.S. financial system right there.
Yeah, well, let's change the system.
or just be smarter. I mean, we're paying $3 billion, according to Fortune magazine, we're paying $3 billion a day in interest right now on $35.3 trillion in debt. And after thinking about that, and then they're trying to raise the debt limit and all that, I'm like, okay, so the people who actually run the world are the bankers. Because we have to ask them for money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Borrow more money. I agree. Mm-hmm.
We'll lend you that money, but I'm going to need you to go ahead and make this move on this country, okay? Can you do that for me? Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, just makes you wonder. Scratching head. But I got a whole bunch of numbers, actually, I wanted to throw at you today.
Sure.
That I did a little read. So I was not feeling good, not great yesterday, so I spent a lot of time on the show. So I got... Excuse me. Yep, that's what I was talking about. I've been having to turn the mic off here and there when I get a little cough attack. But anyway, the Labor Department reported Friday employers added 256,000 jobs in December, up from 212 in November. Unemployment ticked down to 4.1% from 4.2%. Expectations for benchmark interest rate cuts by the Federal Reserve are now leaning in the direction of how about no. Not anytime soon, anyway. And then markets dropped like a rock Friday, and there's a huge bond sell-off. So what's going on, Doug Weir?
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive. The good news on the job front, bad news on the stock market. And the futures market, I haven't looked since we've been on the air, but the market was set up to go down this morning, and it's weird that the good news of jobs means that they probably won't lower interest rates much next year. They've been counting on 4 interest rate decreases next year. When they hinted that they weren't going to lower them a few weeks ago, it dropped the market. They said, maybe we'll just do 2 decreases next year. Boom, the market drops. The same thing's happening now. They're worried that these job numbers are going to cause the Feds to not lower interest rates. That's what it's all about, the worry, concern about lowering of interest rates. The market's already anticipated those decreases, and now they're starting to pull back a little bit. That's what this is about.
So what's that mean for us?
Well, it makes the market very jittery, doesn't it? It makes the stock market very jittery. We actually used the opportunity the other day when the market dropped. I used that opportunity to buy some stocks that we wanted to buy, but they've been too high, frankly. And so we're being cautious. We're cautiously buying shares of stocks and different opportunities. When the market drops, we'll buy. But we're being kind of cautious with this. We're not too sure. I've got somebody, frankly, coming in at 10 o'clock this morning. She's nervous about the markets because of the upcoming changeover in president.
Right.
I've got a lot of that, and I've got a lot of hand-holding I've got to do with people to explain to them. We've been through this before. In the stock market of 100 years that we've been in it, we've been through presidents, we've been through world wars, we've been through an awful lot.
Crashes.
Market's very, very resilient. But there's a lot of hand-holding going on right now.
Well, it's a little bit of a volatile time. We got a lot of different stuff going on. Folks are probably staring at, homeowners insurance had already gone up.
Yes, sir.
And now, $135 to $150 billion already in California in damages.
Oof.
Plus all the stuff in North Carolina. It's, I don't know, this with a lot of people are paying more in property taxes and homeowners insurance than they are for their mortgage right now.
Yep, absolutely. I'm seeing that across the country. Clients are screaming at me about their insurance premiums, and I'm like, yeah, it's not just in your area. It's everywhere. I'm seeing, I have clients in Florida, and maybe I've shared this before, $21,000 a year in premiums he's paying, and his deductible on his homeowner's insurance is 25% of the value of the home.
Whoa. What's the point of having insurance?
Exactly. So $21,000 a year in premiums is what his premiums are. Think about that.
Yeah. Well, and I'm wondering, if it keeps going this direction, at what point does it just break people to where they don't have insurance anymore?
Well, in the state of California and the state of Florida, I'm sure others, many of them have to buy it from the state. There's a consortium state pool that puts the money together, and it's still expensive, but there is no alternative other than buying it from the state of California or state of Florida.
That's crazy.
It is. It's getting very, very difficult. And I don't know what you just said with the claims they've got going down south and now on the West Coast. I think it's going to break a few insurance companies. I'm afraid we're going to lose maybe a company or two.
And so how does that work? If an insurance company goes belly up, they just don't pay the claims?
Well, they all pay into an insurance pool. All the insurance companies pay into a pool. That's why you have insurance commissioners by each state. So insurance is regulated state by state. It's not regulated. Well, it is kind of federally, but it's more done on a state by state basis. So each state has a pool of money that all the insurance companies pay into. And if one company goes belly up, the rest of the companies have to pay in more to that pool to help bail out the shareholders, or should they get claims. So there is a state pool. There is an insurance commission that watches after these companies to make sure they stay solvent.
Okay.
So let's hope that they've been doing their job. The problem is in some states, not Iowa, but in some states, that insurance commissioner is a, you have to go through the voting process. It's an elected official. In other words, it's political. It's not an appointed position. And so, unfortunately, sometimes you get certain states that will have insurance commissioners that aren't really qualified to be in that position, if you know what I mean. And maybe they're taking... they were put into that position by some insurance company that's got their interest at heart. So, you know, that's a problem in some states. I think that position probably should not be an elected official. It probably should be an appointed official. But anyway, they're supposed to keep after that to make sure they're solvent to pay all their bills, is what I'm trying to get to.
Gotcha. Well, and I mean, we're no strangers to, you know, climate issues or extreme weather events here either, but what we're seeing, what we saw in Florida, North Carolina this year, and then now what's going on in California right now, and I'm just praying that, you know, these fires subside a little bit before these winds come back up. And I mean, you know, if you see these aerial photos, I mean, it looks apocalyptic. It's so bad. And I feel so bad for all those folks dealing with this out there in Southern California. We're actually going to be talking the Chuck with the Duck, who is an insurance guy and was an insurance guy in California for a couple decades.
Oh.
He grew up there, lived there in Orange County, I believe. And so, we're talking to him at 9:30 to kind of get an inside scoop on, you know, what he knows and what we're really looking at for the folks down there.
Well, I'll listen in on that. That's interesting. I talked to a few clients I called in Southern. I have clients in Southern California scattered around, and one of them in particular I was worried about because he's got breathing issues. And I thought, if anything, I kind of looked at the map, and he's not that close. But fortunately, the winds have been blowing southeast from where he's at. And so if they continue that way, it sounded like it would die down. But they were worried about those Santa Ana winds shifting. And they had said on the news the winds got up to 50, 60 miles an hour. And he said, Doug, there were some clock speeds of 90 miles an hour winds. That's like a shear force wind. 90.
Yeah, like hurricane type stuff.
Yes, what he said, actually, hurricane without the moisture. It was just dry, hot winds. He said it was scary.
Yeah,
Sorry,
go ahead.
No, I haven't been able to reach one of my clients. I just looked before we got on air, and he hasn't responded yet, so I'm a little concerned. I'm sure he's okay, but I'd like to hear from him.
Yeah. This is one of those scenarios where if you're going to get hurricane winds, can we please have the rain? You know,
and
make this go out and stop this destruction and just terrible. Oh, it's just hard to watch and hard to look at. And I just can't even imagine being the folks who live there. Is just rough stuff. But
yeah, I've been in that area a few times, and I just can't imagine it's gone now. It's just, it's going to be interesting to see how it rebuilds and all that as time goes on. But wow, I mean, it's just so embedded in. We have a little bit of that problem in Colorado. There's a part of Colorado called Evergreen, I believe is the area. And it is one of the hot spots in the United States where it's overbuilt. There's too many trees. There needs to be deforestation or some fire mitigation done, but the people don't want the fire mitigation done. And what's causing is that's where the insurance companies will pull out. They'll just say, hey, we're not going to let you have insurance unless you do fire mitigation. It's just gotten so overbuilt and so extreme with the amount of wood and stuff. So we did fire mitigation around our house last year, and it's necessary. It's got to be done. Otherwise, you're going to have situations like this.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. We just got to hold our breath and hope for the best here at this point. But as always, sir, I appreciate all the information and what's going on with the markets right now, because we kind of had a little volatile blip here the last few days. So it's kind of good to hear, you know, what you're saying. And of course, you know, with the changeover in the White House, I kind of figured that was having an impact maybe a little bit. So,
we've got it under control, people. We've got it under control. We buy volatile, you know, we've got things that reduce volatility. We've got things that stop the downside and give you most of the upside. So I'm doing some of those things, pulling some of the levers, keep people a little so they can sleep at night, I guess.
There you go. The man behind the money curtain, Doug Weir, Bentendorf Financial Group. Thank you so much, sir, for your time.
Sir.
We'll
sure
look
Feel
forward
better.
To, yeah, I'll work on it. We'll sure look forward to talking to you next Monday. You have a good week.
Yes, sir, and be well. Bye.
Thanks, Doug.
Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research
Hello?
Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bentendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.